In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning, you get down there and it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go talk to them about it. If they listen, then great. But if not, then take somebody to be a witness. And if that still doesn't work, then go before the church. And if that still doesn't work, then treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector, which doesn't sound like very sound advice. But then you have to remember that Jesus had already preached, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. And then we get down to it, and Peter, oh, we love Peter, who never quite gets it. He's always just off. He says, well, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister? Seven times is enough, right? And it depends on how you translate the Greek as to whether Jesus says not just seven, but 77, or seven times 77, because that's a whole big difference. The number there is not important. The point is that you forgive and keep on forgiving. Now, the fake news that's not in the Bible is that the Bible says forgive and forget. The Bible does not say forgive and forget. And that's twofold. One, the Bible says forgive and keep on forgiving, which in one hand says don't forget that you yourself was forgiven and that you yourself are in fact a sinful fallen creature and a little less than the angels, and you need forgiveness just as much as your brother does, right? There's not a single one of us here, myself included, that doesn't need a dose of forgiveness more times than we care to admit. But to forgive and forget also has that connotation that we forgive somebody who has done wrong against us and then forget that the wrong was done. And that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says, because there are plenty of things, and I don't think I need to name them off. We have little ears in here. They don't need that much of a dose of the world. I think, though, every one of us can sit and think for a minute about wrongs that are done to us that, no, we are not forgetting that that happened and that that person did that to us. Amen? Doesn't mean we don't forgive them. Doesn't mean we don't learn to work with moving past it. It does mean, though, that we don't forget and that we are therefore cautious. We are therefore more patient and more willing to step back and say, maybe hanging out with this person's not necessarily the best idea. Now, if you mean by forgive and forget that I'm going to forgive this person and move on with my life because I'm not holding on to this grudge anymore, then that's a good thing, and we can go with that. That works. But to say forgive and forget that I'm going to forgive this person and forget that they wronged me is not what Scripture says at all. Jesus, I do believe, the Jesus that I worship, the Jesus that I work for, I used to have a bumper sticker that said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. It was before I went to seminary. It was great. I also had the one that said, Jesus is coming, look busy, so that's okay. But I digress. Anyway, in the gospel, if your brother or sister sins against you, Jesus was talking to people who didn't know how to do church yet. It's Jesus talking. It's not Paul talking about what Jesus said. No, that's the reading from Colossians. The reading from the gospel is Jesus teaching. This is how you do church. This is how you live in community with each other. This is how you live as called people who have been called by God to live this life and live as forgiven people, who have seen the light of Christ, who have lived this and are walking this path. And so this is that one of those lessons, and says, hey, if somebody makes you mad and somebody drives over your grass or somebody mows over your asparagus, I forgave him, but I haven't forgotten yet. Anyway, If somebody, you know, does something to you, you take them aside and it says, go and correct them when you are alone together. Don't humiliate. Don't humiliate the person. If somebody does you wrong and somebody hurts your feelings or does something against you or does something to get your goat, that's a scriptural phrase, isn't it? Get your goat. I don't have a goat to get, but that's all right. Anyway, take them aside and say, hey, that wasn't okay. If they don't listen to you, then get witnesses. So that way, it's not just he said, she said, or she said, she said, or he said, or they said, I said. You have witnesses to say, this is what's going on. And if that still doesn't work, if they still won't pay attention, report it to the church. I really don't want anybody to get to the point where they have to come report it to the church. I really don't want biblical apologies made in the front of the sanctuary during worship service because, I mean, we'll do it if we have to, but, you know, I think we kind of do that in the prayer of confession where we confess with God what we've done and what our society has done. If they won't pay attention even to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and tax collector. Now, that goes with changing up how they viewed the neighbors who were not like them. You have, reading that phrase and Matthew, the writer of Matthew's gospel, using those words for Jesus, you have to remember who Matthew was writing for. Matthew's gospel was the one written for the more educated, definitely Jewish-backgrounded people. They didn't hang out with Gentiles. It's like we don't hang out with people from Detroit. We don't willingly go to certain parts of Saginaw. To treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector. Tax collectors were ruthless back in those days. It's like the Sheriff of Nottingham from the old animated Robin Hood, right? Played by, what was he, a bear or a badger, some big old, you know, oh, I see little Timmy the little turtle had a coin, or a rabbit or whatever he was, had a coin in a cup for his birthday, and he dropped one in and took all three out, remember? Absolutely ruthless. But you have to remember that before the scripture reading, Jesus had already said, you love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And they said, who is my neighbor? Every last person around you on this earth. Every last person sharing this air that we breathe. And he goes on, Jesus goes on and says, I assure you that whatever you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then my Father who is in heaven will do it for you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. That's the definition of church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. Whenever you fasten on earth and will be fastened in heaven. You fasten those attachments to people on earth, they'll be fastened in heaven. If you attach yourself to Jesus while here on earth, at fastened in heaven, if you loosen yourself from the evil ways of this earth while on this earth, then you will have been loosened from them when you get to the afterlife. Oh, isn't that interesting? So how does that go with forgive and forget? Well, you have to remember then that all things Jesus said were said through love. And that for Jesus and that for the people he was talking to and the whole new world he was starting, it was all about love. And it was all about how do we love each other? How do we love our Creator? How do we have that relationship in that agape philios love, that God love, that brotherly love, sibling love? How do we love each other? And the answer in that is yes, you forgive and forget in that if the thing holding you back in this earth, in this world, is keeping you from loving your neighbor, or for that matter, loving your God, then you're holding on to it too much. It's not to put yourself in a position where you are vulnerable. It is not to put you in a spot where you forgive and then forget that somebody has terribly, terribly wronged you. I have forgiven my dad. I am a happier person for it. I have not forgotten that in, let's see, Jonathan's 25. So in 24 years, there hasn't been a birthday card, a Christmas card, a phone call, a visit, nothing. I haven't forgotten. I've forgiven him because I don't need that weight on my shoulders. I invite you this week to do the same. Find that thing that you are holding on to that is holding you back, that is weighing heavy on your shoulders and weighing heavy on your heart, and say, you know what? I won't forget that this wrong happened to me, but by God, I'm going to forgive that person, mostly because it'll help me be in a better place in my relationship with God. Because when we're holding on to the weight of those things that really need our forgiveness, and we're holding on to those things that we really need to let go of, holding on here means we have a full hand that can't reach toward the holy. And God wants better for us. Jesus died and rose again, so there's better for us. It's like I said last week, this isn't the be-all, end-all. This is not the final destination. We get to reach for what's on the other side. We as faithful people trust that there is something better when we cross over the river. And so we have to have an open hand to be able to reach for it. And that means letting go of those things that hold us back. So no, the Bible doesn't say forgive and forget. And it doesn't tell us to forget that people have done wrong to us that have deeply, deeply hurt us and deeply, deeply damaged things inside of us. But it does say forget enough to say, you know what? I'm going to forget that I'm holding this grudge. I'm going to forget this thing that is holding me back from God. I'm going to remember that God has forgiven us already. And that I live as a child of the light of forgiveness. And that in my baptism and when I take communion, I remember that because I was forgiven first, I also should forgive one another. Amen.